Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, let's take a little dive into the college football world, shall we? Do you not think that Pitt is at least worthy right now of others receiving votes? They are 5-2. What are they, 3-1 in the ACC? Do I have that correct?
Correct. Their lone loss is to Louisville, and Louisville had the upset against Miami. They're a really good team.
So, I mean, Minnesota got a vote. James Madison got 6. Can't Pitt at least be in others receiving votes? This is an outrage, Limit.
I agree with you. They should receive a couple of votes. I just wonder, though, Joe, what can you claim to be Pitt's big win?
I know. Florida State was ranked when they beat them.
Right. Yeah, 25. That would be it. Florida State's starting to reel off a little bit.
I'm aware of that. They don't really have one.
There's talk of firing Mike Norvell down there. He got the dreaded vote of confidence this weekend that he's not going to go anywhere. But
here's the other thing, is that Pitt went on the road. I don't really care who they were playing. I think we've all been watching Pitt football enough to know that any win on the road in conference is good.
Yes.
And they won 30-13, I think, was the score. And I see below these stories where it's the Post-Gazette or the Trib or whatever, complaints left and right. They went in there with injuries galore, then had more injuries. I was watching the game in a bar at Bedford Springs, so I didn't have the sound up. The one throw that Heinschel made, I thought his season was over. Didn't you think he tore his rotator cuff or something on that one?
Yeah, I was worried when he came out of the game, ultimately, what his status would be. But, man, he's a warrior.
How did he throw it when he came back in? I don't know. I wasn't watching. I'm asking you a question there.
Yeah, okay. Like, I don't think that there was anything that necessarily made you believe, like, wow, he is a significantly less, you know, precision type of passer because of it.
Okay. He looked fine then. He didn't have a great game, but he looked fine there.
Yeah, he did a good job recovering.
Okay. Then I look at the ACC. I see Georgia Tech 4-0. I see Virginia 3-0. I see SMU 3-0. And then I see Pitt and Duke at 3-1. Sitting here at 3-1. Now, they're absolutely decimated by injuries. The reason I bring all this up, I think I brought it up last week, is I did not think, especially after the West Virginia debacle, that I was going to be at all perked up or interested in Pitt football this year. And now I'm becoming far more so. They should beat NC State at home. My God, they better beat Stanford on the road. And then that sets up a fascinating game, potentially, against Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, man.
Am I looking at this correctly, Limits?
You are. And that's where Pitt should be. They should win these next two games. And Pat Narduzzi speaking to the media.
I saw Stanford did beat Florida State, though.
They did.
Of course, everybody does.
How about Florida State beat Alabama, right? Earlier this year? Now they're the number four team in the country?
Maybe Pitt should be ranked number one.
Maybe number two, right behind the Buckeyes.
They did. They beat Alabama. That's unbelievable.
So what I think the goal needs to be for Pitt moving forward is, look, the ACC is still in play here. Georgia Tech is going to eventually lose a game. Like, Notre Dame, you don't have to worry as much in terms of what is going to play out with the ACC standings.
Listen, if they beat NC State and Stanford, they're going to be 7-2. And I know Believe me, I know if you're a Pitt fan listening, saying, is this guy assuming they're going to win those two games? Has he not been watching Pitt for the past 40 years? For most of those years I have, yes. And they are. They're absolutely crushed right now by injuries, right? I mean, defensively, a couple guys left the game at least the other day. They were already banged up. Offensive line, all kinds of people. So I'm still going to say they win these two games. If they do, they're 7-2 and 5-1 in the ACC. I didn't dream that in my wildest dreams, Limits.
No. Who would have thought that it would be Pitt in contention for a conference championship out of the three local teams this year?
And then the Notre Dame game is not an ACC game.
Correct.
So then you have the two. The good news and the bad news is you wind up the season at Georgia Tech and home against Miami. So regardless of the Notre Dame game, if you win these two games against NC State and Stanford, you're setting up a gigantic finish to the season.
I will predict it right now, Joe. I think Pitt is going to beat Miami in the final game of the year at home and take down the Hurricanes.
Oh, my.
I believe it to be true. I think it's going to happen.
Well, let me ask you this. What's Georgia Tech's signature win? Clemson? 24-21?
Yeah, but Clemson's having a bad year.
Exactly. So what's Georgia Tech's signature win? Wrong.
They really don't have one.
They don't have one. Are they that good? I don't know.
The Clemson one looks good, which I think is one reason why, plus they're undefeated, why they've risen up the rankings way that they have.
But they've risen up. You asked about Pitt. I'll ask about them. What's their big win? They beat Wake Forest in overtime. It took overtime to beat Wake Forest. And they had a pretty competitive game against Duke.
I do think Duke's a solid program, though.
That's fine.
It's a better program with Manny Diaz than what it's been in the past.
All I know is Saturday, November 22nd could be a very interesting day for Pitt. And if they should somehow beat, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, if they should somehow win that game, they could set up an incredible season finale against Miami here. That's all. I didn't think I would even be conjuring these scenarios, Limits. Am I getting my point across?
You are.
Am I articulating it correctly?
Yeah, you are, because
I didn't think that I'd be talking about Pitt on a Steeler Monday ever, but I am.
Well, because the way that they positioned themselves to be able to bounce back after that West Virginia game where it seemed like the sky was falling, it's pretty impressive to see. And a lot of it should be credited to Narduzzi changing to Mason Heinschel. He is just lit a spark under this team.
Yeah, and the defense won them this last game, right?
Yes, because Heinschel didn't play necessarily well in this game.
Meanwhile, all hell is breaking loose everywhere else. We have Luke Fickell, the AD backing him, which is the good or bad news for him. We have Mike Norvell, Florida State, saying they'll make a decision on him after the season. He might as well just leave now because we know what that decision is. And we have Terry Smith in his first game with Penn State, a game I felt like they could have, obviously, and should have won. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. They had it within their grasp. The defense played horrendous. Penn State did a good job running the football, but it seemed like they didn't discover the invention of the forward pass for most of the game. That game, to me, came down to just a couple of things. Your $3 million defensive coordinator not being able to scheme up anything to stop a rushing attack. Well, I mean, even the passing game of Iowa. Iowa ran, after Penn State took the lead on a touchdown, a quarterback read option play where he ran for 60 yards inside the 10, the quarterback for Iowa did, to set up the game-winning score.
It was just embarrassing. I was hoping for Terry Smith's sake that he had a better fate, but they have become one of the most disappointing teams in the history of college football. Preseason ranked number 2, right?
Yeah.
And they're 0-4 in the Big Ten. And along the way became the first team, I think, in recorded history, going back to 78 anyway, with the FCS split. Since 1978, no team had lost back-to-back games in which they were favored by 20 or more. This is one of the great collapses, one of the great disappointments in the history of college football. Is your 2025 Penn State Nittany Lions, right?
I think it is the most disappointing season in the history of college football.
Well, we had Brett McMurphy on last week, who's very good, who said Lane Kiffin's USC team that was ranked number 1 still wins the prize for him from a few years. When was that exactly?
when he was left on the tarmac all those years ago.
I think
but
so.
Didn't Lane last further on in the season than James Franklin did?
He might have.
I mean, they didn't have a quarterback going down as early as Aller did either.
It's a pretty good competition at this point. And, oh, by the way, pretty soon here, he's got Indiana and Ohio State back-to-back.
Yeah, those are not wins. Neither.
Meanwhile, I agree with ESPN about the ACC getting back to Pitt. The entire conference is untrustworthy at this point. There were 8 games involving ACC teams in Week 8, 4 produce upsets, 3 on the favorites' home field, and 2 others nearly did. Stanford beat Florida State as a 17.5-point underdog. Louisville plus 10.5 won at Miami. SMU plus 5.5 won at Clemson. And Georgia Tech plus 3.5 won at Duke in a game heavily impacted by a 95-yard Omar Daniels fumble return score. Cal nearly lost as an 8.5-point favorite. This is good. This is good news for Pitt.
Well, there's a ton of parity. Did anybody expect Georgia Tech to be any good? I know I didn't. Did anybody expect Virginia to be any good in the ACC?
Did anybody expect Ty Simpson to be connected to the Steelers as a quarterback from Alabama?
No, I did not.
Do you like him?
No, I do not.
Why?
I need to watch more of them. Like, I will put that clarifier out there that I want to see more Ty Simpson, but I want to see somebody with a little bit more experience. I mean, he's only done it in a couple of games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the other thing happening, we're talking about the greatest bust, the greatest collapse, the biggest disappointment is Penn State, maybe in the history of college football. And maybe somebody come up with a name, but has there been a more hyped prospect who has disappointed more than Arch Manning this year? Limits?
Not in my recent memory, no. I mean, he was basically brought into Texas to be the savior of that program at the quarterback position, giving him millions of dollars before he even stepped foot onto the field.
Right.
And he's played like a JV quarterback. He's just been poor. He is not the reason why they've won any game this year. He detracts from that.
So here's the Heisman top 10. Are you ready for this, Limits?
Oh, boy.
Gunnar Stockton. This is according to ESPN, the quarterback at Georgia. We've hardly talked about him at all. What year is he?
Stockton, I think, is a senior. He sat behind Carson Beck for a while.
Wrong. He's a junior. How come we haven't talked about him?
Maybe because before this season, he didn't have any tape out there, or at least it was barely some tape after Carson Beck got hurt.
Number 2 is Fernando Mendoza. Now he's going to be the number 1 pick in the whole in the draft.
Yeah,
Kurt
Cignetti's done a really good job of developing him. He can do it both, Joe. He can throw it. He can run it. Pretty effective. When you go out and beat Oregon, too.
Number 3 is the running back, Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame. And number 4, and I knew this at the beginning. I didn't know, but it's Ohio State. So before the season, we were hearing, oh, Penn State's going to have a huge quarterbacking advantage. This is the year they beat Ohio State. Who's this guy for Ohio State?
Julian Sain.
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, that's what I was saying people were saying before the season.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who's this guy at Ohio State? And my answer then was, I don't know. but he plays for Ohio State, so he's obviously probably a five-star prospect. He's got great receivers. He's got a great offensive line. I bet he's going to be pretty good. And now look, Julian Sain is fourth in the Heisman race, according to ESPN, and he was 36 for 42 for 393 yards and four touchdowns against Wisconsin. He looks pretty good.
Very good.
Better than Drew Aller.
You going to say that about every quarterback?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm
because
glad we have
Drew
that
Aller
there.
Was going to be a top three Heisman candidate coming into the season, right?
Yeah, I thought
it
was.
Do
at least
you blame his
five.
Demise more on coaching or him? What percent? Handout percentages.
That's a great question. Because the coaching didn't throw those two very poor interceptions. I put probably 55% on Aller, and I put 45% on the coaching because I do feel like the coaching failed. In his first year, they fired the offensive coordinator because they just were not putting him in a good enough position to win. And now they bring Kotelnicki in, and he runs more trick plays than Ron drinks beers during the middle of the day. And they don't put Aller in a position. They didn't put Aller in a position to succeed whatsoever. They didn't cater to his strengths.
I mean, some of these guys, this was supposed to be a great quarterback class. Who are these people?
Yes, Sellers
is
doing
Gunnar
bad.
Who is Gunnar Stockton? Who else is on
Garrett
here?
Garrett Nussmeier hasn't had a good year.
Haynes King from Georgia Tech is 10th in the Heisman, coming off a good game. I had no idea who he was until I just read his name, quite frankly, but he's better than Drew Aller.
Just because they're high on the Heisman ranks doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to end up translating to a great NFL quarterback.
Of course
Diego
not,
Pavia,
of course not.
Is,
even Heisman Trophy winners don't translate. But my point is, people like you were saying this was going to be the greatest quarterback class of all time, and now it's a bunch of guys nobody ever heard of before the season. Talen Green from Arkansas is 6th on this Heisman list. He's better than Drew Aller, would you agree? Now,
great for radio, huh? Stunned silence.
I don't know about Drew Aller, man. Where do you think he goes in the draft now?
Third round.
Do you think he becomes a good pro?
Depends on where he's drafted. And I know that that's not the answer that people want to hear or anything, but it truly does depend on where he's drafted. If he goes to like a Kyle Shanahan type of guy, an offensive-minded coach that knows what he's doing, or even if he goes to Brian Daboll in the third round, well, Brian Daboll might even be fired.
Brian Daboll? Well,
and they have Dart. What am I saying
there? I don't know about Drew Aller, man.
Point is,
I put most of it on him, actually. I think it's always part coaching. Last year, I didn't think he had great weaponry on the outside, but he had Tyler Warren as his tight end, for God's sake.
Yeah, and they
He's
threw
always
him.
Had a great running. How can
Every
you
play.
Not? How can you? It's just, it's frustrating. And he had some decent games last year. He never really had a signature game. He always struck me as just sort of, he plays a stiff game. And maybe that is coaching.
Yeah.
We talked about this earlier in the year. It was never just, let's put it on that guy. Go out, be loose, have fun, be a gunslinger, go get it. He always struck me as a guy who the weight of the world was on him on every throw. Just very tight out there.
And that's because of the coaching. A lot of it is because the coaching never put him in that type of position until they were trailing in the game and they needed him to, like that Oregon game.
I think a lot of people thought he'd be the Steelers' next quarterback. Now, I don't know who's going to be. I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers again next year. We mentioned earlier, and why don't we go back to this? Here's a topic I'd love to go to. Is this version of Aaron Rodgers, and it still isn't MVP Aaron Rodgers, we know that, but man, the touchdown numbers are going to be close. I was wrong about him. Were you wrong about Aaron Rodgers? I saw him play late last season. There's a Buffalo game that stands out, and I described it like a punch-drunk boxer. He just looked done. But the people who thought, all right, one more year removed from the Achilles surgery in a different environment, without, speaking of the weight of the world on your shoulders, without that in New York, he's come in here, and he's on pace not to break, but to smash the Steeler record for touchdown passes in a season. Ben holds it amazingly at only 34 touchdowns. That's the single season record for the Steelers. Rodgers is on pace for 40. So I'd like to hear from people, is this the guy you expected, or is it way more? Or were you expecting, I was expecting probably late stage Ben, which wasn't bad. This is better than that, I think, pretty clearly. Of course, this guy doesn't have to deal with Kendrick Green directly in front of him, which was Ben's last year. But he has been a surprise to me. I'll just say it flat out. He really has been. And he's on pace for 40 touchdowns.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
All right, let's talk a little Aaron Rodgers. When you actually look at the numbers, it's pretty startling. And I didn't think it was going to be like this. I didn't think this guy was going to be on pace to throw for 40 touchdowns six games in. And I know, you know, people get bothered by the on pace thing. If anything, I would think it would get better, right? As he gets more used to the offense, more used to his weapons. The offensive line seems to be improving. The run game's getting better, which only helps him. Who knows? Maybe they bring in another receiver. He got Freiermuth involved in the last game, and I know it was against the Bengals. But the bottom line is he's having a good year, and he's on pace to smash the Steeler record for touchdown passes. He's on pace for 40. He's been their best player, in my estimation. I didn't think that was going to be the case. I thought he would be winnable with, he'd be okay, but I thought there was a greater chance of bust than boom, and he's way closer to boom. He's not tearing up the league like MVP Aaron Rodgers, but he's been very good. And limits, these, in my estimation, I'm not talking about the best quarterbacks. The best quarterbacks in the NFL, to me, Josh Allen is one of them. Lamar Jackson's one of them. Joe Burrow's one of them. Patrick Mahomes. To me, those are the best quarterbacks in the league. You know, if I was choosing to win this year and they were all healthy. That's not the question here. The question is who's having the best season so far? And I think the five guys that are having the best season so far, in order, I might add, are Baker Mayfield, Drake May, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, and then a tie between Prescott and Mahomes. Mahomes, by the way, has five rushing touchdowns, and all his weapons are just getting in place. So when we have this conversation about 6 weeks from now, he may be number one. Drake May has been a revelation. Did you see the scramble he had yesterday? And he had two phenomenal plays yesterday.
Very impressive.
Drake May is completing 75% of his passes, 12 touchdowns, two picks, and a 116 rating. So you want to call it a top six, a six-pack, you might say, limits, right? It's Baker, Drake May, Stafford, Goff, Prescott, and Mahomes. Right after that, some might say in that group, I'll say the next group, who's having the best season so far? Danny Dimes, Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, and Bo Nix. That's seven. So that's about your top 13 right now. Any quibbles with anything I've said so far, Limits?
No, I do like your first tier. I feel like you can even move Josh Allen up to that first tier. He's still played at a very elite level for me. His defense has let him down. I know you watch the Bills a little bit more closely than I do, but I still feel like he's in the top tier.
Yeah, like I said, this is just based on season so far, and he's taken a little bit of a dip. He hasn't had great games. Jalen Hurts still not getting enough credit. 11 touchdowns, one pick, and 185 yards rushing with five rushing touchdowns. He wins, and by any means necessary. And yesterday, it was opening up the offense and going to Smith and A.J. Brown. But I guess the overall point here is Aaron Rodgers is in that realm, in that conversation of who's having the best season among quarterbacks in the league. He's probably the second tier of that, but a great game or two from being in that top six. Limits, do you disagree with that?
I don't. Like, if he goes out there and shreds a good Green Bay defense with Micah Parsons coming off the edge, with a little bit of a revamped secondary, but I think is a pretty solid team, on a national stage against a team that many people have coming out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, yeah, that should change the mind of a lot of people nationally.
He has absolutely and indisputably been better than I thought he would be. He can still make ridiculous throws off a variety of platforms, off 1 foot, on the run, sidearm. His deliveries are impeccable. He's made incredible throws back shoulder down the sidelines, or even front shoulder down the sidelines. Amazing throws. The one, like the play that'll generate, the most passion and excitement from that first drive the other night, since he was, of course, the touchdown, when he had the ball for 8.5 seconds and ran around like vintage Aaron Rodgers or vintage Ben. In fact, I heard Max Starks say that night, that was shades of, vintage Ben Roethlisberger. 8.5 seconds. But the throw of that drive was the one along the right sidelines, and he's made this type of throw a lot of times this year. Just an absolute laser to DK Metcalf. So he's been just way better, and I was concerned after the first game about his mobility, and he's certainly not prime Rodgers there, but he's not that far off. He's way more mobile than I thought he'd be, to the point where he is making throws on the run. Think about the Connor Hayward touchdown from a couple games ago, where it was just roll right as far away from Myles Garrett as humanly possible, direct traffic on the way, go a little ad lib, tell Connor Hayward to go in the end zone, and then on the run, just fire the cannon for a low dart in the end zone. He's been way better than I thought he'd be. How about you? 412-928-9370. This was a good pickup. This is a guy that you could win a playoff game with. Unfortunately, the better he looks, it's been proportionate. As he starts to look better and better, the arrow going up, the defense begins to look worse and worse. And I think it's indisputable that was one of the most embarrassing defensive performances of Mike Tomlin's 19-year tenure. That was an abomination in Cincinnati, with a 40-year-old Joe Flacco looking like, if he needed to, Limits, if he needed to in that game, could have rolled up 50 or 60 points.
Yeah, it's frankly undeniable. I mean, think about this, too. If we can pinpoint one area of the Steelers' defense as the biggest problem, I don't know if that's even possible, considering the struggles of Porter, looking old, and Ramsey, with the defensive line not being able to stop the worst rushing attack in football that averaged, 56 yards per game.
Right. Darius Slay looks like he's 100 years old. He looks older than Marlon Humphrey at this point. Joey Porter Jr. can't cover anybody unless he holds them. Can you imagine if he didn't hold people on every play, what that would look like?
Joey Penalty Jr., he's been dubbed.
Alex Highsmith was a no-show with zero pressures. TJ Watt has 4 sacks on the season. They promised they'd play Herbig, and then they didn't play him a lot in that game. And then the defensive line just got ransacked. Other than that, it went well.
Yeah, Herbig had 22 snaps on dropbacks. in that game for Cincinnati. 22 of 56 dropbacks he was on the field for.
Let's hear from folks.
I don't get it. Here is Randy. He's in Butler to chime in.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, guys. Surprised I actually knew who I was. I guess because I call all the time.
Are you from Butler, Randy?
Shakora, actually.
Shakora. That's more that's more Yawk than Butler, if I'm not mistaken, although I could be mistaken. Am I?
Yeah, it's all farmland out that area.
Do you remember the Butler Junior High School when it was the you had the seating above the gym so people would sit up there and look down into a bowl? Do you remember that junior high school or no?
No, not really.
That's okay. I used to coach basketball there, and I remember it fondly. What's on your mind?
Surprise about Rodgers. I had my doubts at the beginning, but the way he's playing, if we continue the whole season like that, I only feel that he might get a little better as, like you guys said, he gets comfortable with the offense and the play script, and still not comfortable with Tomlin, but hey, everybody is. Other than that, if the defense starts showing up, we might have a chance to win a playoff game this year.
Yeah, but that's
and
the problem
that would be
now.
A nice play.
That's
yep,
the problem. Well, yeah, I just mentioned some of these quarterbacks, and you could see a bunch of those guys. I mean, pick one is what I mean. Out of Daniel Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Drake May. You want to see him again? The only reason the Steelers won that game, and they had something to do with it, was because the Patriots put the ball on the carpet. Drake May was unstoppable in that game. He lined up in empty sets with, you know, five receivers and absolutely carved the Steelers in that game. And then they had the nerve to say afterward that, you know, we knew we were going to get to him and he was going to fumble. Okay, that'll be the plan next time. We'll see what happens in a rematch if they put the ball on the carpet five times or whatever it was in that game. That kid's an absolute star. I have zero confidence suddenly in the Steelers' defense. None. I was fooled. Silly me. I was fooled by their performances, and I shouldn't have been, by the way, in Minnesota, because as destructive as they were in that game, they also gave up a bunch of ridiculous plays that got the Vikings back into the game, and they almost lost the game at the end. Who's next?
And remember, we were about to apologize to the Steeler defense a week ago before this.
I did apologize to, remember that topic,
yeah,
limits?
The apology.
Is it too early for I'm sorry's? And I said, not for Aaron Rodgers. I'll say I'm sorry about that opinion, but I need to see more from the Steelers defense, and more turned out to be Joe Flacco.
Here is JD in Scott Township.
Hello, JD.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, bud?
Good. What's up?
First of all, condolences on your loss to your family.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Indeed. I was telling Limits. I know you had the autopsy with the game. Here's where the game went south. Correct me if I'm not wrong. When they tried that stupid tush-push play on fourth and one, when they have $100 million worth of players on the line, and the whole team, the whole offense, how can you not get a legitimate first down?
Well, they did. That's the thing. But who jumped on that play, Limits? Remind me. Who jumped on the play? Do you remember, sir?
I think it was the center. I'm not certain.
I can't remember, but I don't hate the play. I mean, by the way, did you see what Minnesota did to stop the tush push yesterday, guys?
I did not.
They had their nose tackle lay down on the field, lay down and crouch up like he was taking a nap right across from the ball. Limits, did you see that?
I did see that, yeah. Just basically to clog up space
so that
the center could not move forward.
Brian Flores, that was his idea. I don't mind the tush push play, though. Sir, I don't.
I hate it. I hate it. We got too much offense. That big Mount Washington could have gone in motion, flipping the ball. You can't stop the guy. I mean, get a first down. It's so frustrating when they don't get first down.
I hear you. The problem there to me, though, was that the guy jumped. Who's next, Limits?
All right, let's go.
The flea flicker I had a bigger problem with. Well, why do you need a flea flicker then? And I thought there was, for as well as the offense played, and they're by far not the problem from that game, sometimes it's all relative to what your own defense and the other offense is doing. Do you know what I mean? Like sort of reading the game like, oh, we can't stop Joe Flacco, but they can't stop us from running the ball. And I thought in certain instances that it would have behooved the Steelers to dummy down that game and just keep running it and keep the ball for long periods of time.
I agree.
But in the end, I can't complain. You have the highest paid defense in the world and you put up 31 points. You need to win 100% of those games.
Control the clock, control the tempo. They had plenty of opportunities to be able to do it. The flea flicker was a dumb idea. I do like the tush push play. Like, we saw it work in the game against Cleveland. If they didn't move, it would have worked again.
And it's not hindsight, by the way.
No.
It's not hindsight on the flea flicker. And that's why, you know, it bothers me when everybody says, oh, if the play works, it's a great play. If it doesn't work, it's a bad play. No, if you would have told me before the play, I would have said, that's a bad call. And that's why sometimes I come on the air and defend things that worked out and everybody thinks I'm stupid and they might be right. And sometimes I defend, you know, or rip calls that did work because it was just a bad idea.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers checked out of it too. So he didn't even think
even
that it was a
good idea.
Even he
thought it was stupid,
right?
Or at least didn't see the right look for it. I mean, at that point, and that's Artie sometimes gets a little too cute. And while the offense played really well, by the way, this isn't like a juggernaut offense so far.
No.
But it's been good enough with what is allegedly a historically great defense, right? It should be more than enough what they've done.
Best
was
of
that
all time.
Juan Thornhill?
Juan Thornhill,
we got pieces everywhere.
Best of all time.
They're in pieces everywhere, I guess. Who's next?
Their puzzle is being scrambled on them with Patrick in McKeesport joining us now.
Hey, Patrick. Patrick.
Patrick.
Patrick.
Patrick is gone. He hung up on himself.
Anybody else, or should I tease to the top of the hour?
What do we have coming up, Joe?
A trip around the NFL.
Yes.
Have you gone nuts? We haven't even talked about that yet.
No.
It was a crazy, crazy day in the NFL with a lot of things that directly or indirectly impacted the Steelers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.